All right, cool. What are you doing this time?
Well, Gary, welcome out to my backyard.
Oh, hey. Hey, sitting in your backyard.
Kinda. Please be careful. There's a section marked off there. That's where the mystery poops are. It's generally confined to the one quadrant. It's a callback. I think they call that in comedy here. It's just a big featureless backyard. There's a shed out there in the middle. It's a weird shape, so it's hard to mow. But I have been cultivating a nightmarish pest problem across the entire neighborhood.
Oh, tell me more. Did you import a bug?
Well, not a bug. This is more just general rodentia. Okay. Mostly, we've got some voles. We have some ferrets, which are real tricky. Those are stinky little buggers. And a not small number of rabbits.
Oh, hey.
Some waspily, like some not.
Yeah. Rabbits are cute.
I like rabbits.
Not smart.
No.
Not smart.
I don't like it when rabbits scream.
Yeah. Well, I do. I mean, let's be honest here. Let's get down to brass tacks.
It's very cool that there is an animal that screams like a person.
Oh, sure. Yeah, it's one of my faves.
Yeah. Well, deer scream like people
long
as
scream.
Well. Yeah.
That's what we call it.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay, so you got a bunch of like cute. I think this is a big improvement on your normal yard. Like, I don't like grass.
I think it's inherently
virtuous. And I think that this is way cooler because you got friends.
Yeah, well, it's mostly holes. You'll see that I'm on crutches because I've been tripping over lots of different things.
Holes on paper hearts.
Yep, I've been tripping on holes in my backyard. Yeah, so I've paid some neighborhood kids to take some ping pong balls with game names on them, and
a little ping pong.
I have had them secret them down into the holes. And what I'm going to do, because I have been tripping over these holes way too often, Gary, I need to get rid of these things. And the best way that I can think to do that would be to run a hose down.
It's probably the cruelest way you can think to do it.
Oh, they'll get up. It's fine. And if they don't,
babies won't.
Well, I mean, so babies get caught down there. Rabbit babies Elon Musk will just come along with like a submarine made out of a Coke can.
It'd probably be good to save those babies because I've heard that the rabbits that are working on it now enjoy an extra small cheese pizza from time to time, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm gonna turn this on. We're gonna see which of the ping pong balls bubbles up to the front. Sorry, that was a squeaking rabbit. He was asking me not to go. All right, let me turn on the
please,
the actual spigots.
Yep. Okay,
here we go. Here we go. And one is rushing up to me right now.
Okay. Here come the corpses.
Yep. they drowned exceedingly quickly. Their lungs. Yep. Please, their lungs
are tiny. They're the size of
little thimble lungs. Yeah.
Yeah.
And yes, this ping pong ball says hair razor.
Okay.
This isn't a game.
Nope. I didn't open up the thing.
Yeah.
The intro catchphrases.
Hey, while you do that, I need to go get some chicken wings off of the top of my garbage can. BRB. Let's keep this on.
Okay. That's a dreadful euphemism. I don't know what that means, but whatever it means, it's fucking gross, dude. Do not care for it. Yeah, Cole's parents decided to give him chicken wings on... a la garbage today. So he was telling me about, he's prepping me for the chicken wing interruption of when he went and saved chicken wings from rats and neighbors. He's not gonna be able to eat those wings though, because we're at the very beginning of a recording. Definitely cucking Cole.
I'm back
with food. Hey man,
what'd you say, what'd you do?
Nothing.
What'd I miss? Come on.
Nothing.
Okay.
My name is Gary Butterfield.
My name is Cole Ross.
And you're listening to Abject Suffering. Welcome to Abject Suffering, your number one place to hear the vital observations of two bearded white men.
That's a scorcher right there.
That's a scorcher.
Yeah.
Guppy energy. Cole, I have a confession to make to you.
Okay.
So we're recording this on September 14th.
Right.
Just to date
never
this.
Forget.
Yep, never forget. We should not forget any of the days. There's only 365 of them. So I'm in the middle of the Portland death cloud, but I'm really sorry because I missed Labor Day.
Okay.
Like we didn't record on Labor Day or anything.
We did record on Labor Day.
We didn't record this
show on Labor Day. Yeah.
So I got you a little something for Labor Day.
Oh, Jesus Christ, Gary. Okay.
Here, because I know it's a real big deal, and people have been complaining. So here is this.
Cole, I heard you make a huge deal out of Labor Day. Let me tell you this. Labor Day is not a big deal. Gary doesn't think it's a big deal. I don't think it's a big deal. I don't know why you think it's a big deal. But anyways, I just wanted to say that to you and hope you have a great day, Cole. But Labor Day does not matter. Bye.
And that was Barkley the dog, who's a dachshund puppy.
Okay.
I had that message for you. So this dog has pretty strong opinions about how you keep making a big fucking deal out of Labor Day for some reason. You know?
Okay, you got me right to Motley laughing. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, look at that sweetie. Oh my God, it's so small.
He's a really good dog.
Yeah. Wow. That is very sweet. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I would have figured I would have thought that Barkley would be a comrade, but okay.
No.
Yeah.
Well, Barkley's still learning, and Barkley is clearly getting indoctrinated by Barkley's parents.
Yes. Yeah.
During this.
So when Barkley goes off to dog college.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And gets he's his gonna probably get radicalized.
He gets his puploma.
Yeah. The
dog ploma. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. Both of which are, fine. Yeah. He has dog skin.
It's just okay. There we ooh.
Yeah.
Grizzly.
Yeah. A little grizzly. What was that MTV movie about the roommate who killed himself and gave everybody straight A's? There's a movie about that?
I don't know. No, I mean, I've heard
the legend.
What's that?
That urban legend?
Yeah, I know the urban legend. It's right up there with the library on campus that they built, but they didn't take the weight of the books into account, so it's sinking by an inch every year.
Mm-hmm.
Which is actually a cool story, like a cool horror story hook.
It's a neat idea.
Yeah, it's a good idea. But no, I've never heard of that.
Dead Man on Campus.
Dead Man on, like a play on a big man on campus.
Yeah, but he died.
Okay.
Two college roommates go out and party, resulting in bad grades. They learn of a clause that says if your roommate dies, you get an A, and then decide to find somebody who is on the verge, so to speak, to move in with them.
What?
This seems like a dark movie.
Holy shit, they find a depressed person?
Yeah, well, The Verge is doing a lot of work in that sentence.
It is. maybe he just has like really bad cirrhosis. Like,
yeah, it could be an octogenarian like college student.
Oh yeah, like Blue from Old School. Yes.
Yeah, it could have been like Blue from Old School, and then they're going to go in and just like wait for nature to take its course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I mean, does it send them out like Blue from Old School did? They had him up there. It's like, hey, for your birthday, we're gonna have you pudding wrestle two hot ladies, and then he dies of a heart attack.
And everybody got straight A's.
No,
Old School too.
Then it's like either Jeremy Piven or Craig Kilborn. I think both of them are in that, and they're both assholes.
What a sentence!
it's a movie that has Jeremy Piven and Craig Kilborn teaming up as antagonists.
Ooh yeah, oof. A duet of displeasure.
Yeah. What, was that just because you thought of dog college and you thought of a, like you went right to a dog killing itself?
Here's the process.
Okay.
I said the dog's got a dog skin instead of a calf skin.
Okay.
Cause I was trying to
do any
kind of dog sheepskin. Yes. Trying to do any kind of diploma joke. And yes. Then I was like, in my head, I was like, what if somebody died on campus? Yeah. They made the diplomas out of them as a kind of grisly reminder.
Right.
Like the class of 98 will always remember, you know, Todd Stanton.
Well, because he's hanging up on the wall. Yeah.
Yeah. And everyone's walls at home. Like it's the ultimate tribute.
Grizzly.
And then I was thinking about they'd all get A's. Then I was thinking about Dead Man on Campus, a movie I've never seen, but I saw tons of trailers for on MTV.
Gotcha.
And somehow it has a 6 out of 10 on IMDb.
Huh. Do you have your diploma hanging up on your wall?
No.
No? Okay.
No. I think that was dumb.
I was gonna make fun of you, did. I only have mine hanging up because I wanted something to hang in my half bathroom. So any award that I've ever gotten, like any just plaque or whatever, I just hang it up in the bathroom. That I don't even use.
Just hang it up inside the toilet.
I just think that's funny. Yeah.
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 It's very funny to me if somebody gets like an undergraduate degree and then puts on their wall.
Yeah.
Like it's still an accomplishment, right? Yeah. Like I struggled, you know, like not to get it done, but like there are many barriers to me going to college.
Right.
But boy, like just every time I look at that, I think.
Yeah.
Debt.
You know? Yep. Yeah. No. Just you write that check every month, and in the memo line, you write unfair. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. This fucking sucks.
Yeah.
So this is not a game, but it has a story around it that is like interesting, but not as interesting as I wanted it to be.
Yeah.
There's a documentary they mentioned, or like a BBC special. I'm like, I bet you that's actually really boring.
Yeah. There are a couple of videos that you can watch about this. The one that I liked was it was a talk given by Stuart Ashens, old school YouTube kind of guy. Gets up and kind of talks about like what this game is and gives a little bit of the backstory and stuff. This was this is a patron demand by our buddy Joe Threepwood.
Oh, hey, Joe.
Yeah. Said here, never played it myself, and it's not supposed to be good, but I have a deep history with the book that inspired it, and I love the work of the artist Kit Williams. Would be interested to know if either of you have experience with armchair treasure hunts. So this is not like a video game that you play. This is like a little cipher that is supposed to provide clues to help you find a prize worth $30,000. And that's right. We are back in the 80s, the cocaine fueled days of games trying to reward you with solid gold objects.
When game developers used to create treasure.
Uh-huh.
On the regular.
Yep.
Like I've made a treasure. The guy who did this book made the treasure.
Mm-hmm.
In the wiki, at least according to Wikipedia, he made the thing. I don't have any experience with this kind of stuff, even though I do think it is neat. I have I've been trying to think of what I want to get myself as a housewarming gift when I move, and it's either going to be like a big solo board game, or one of those like catch a serial killer at home monthly.
Oh yeah, mystery things. That are advertised on shows. Yeah.
Yeah, that Riff does.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he likes those. I think they're a cool idea. Yeah. And the idea of getting like a fun piece of mail every month is very appealing to me.
Mm-hmm.
But I've never done this largely because like, I mean, I'm only on like day 5 or whatever of the house arrest, but it does feel like going outside to go geocaching is so fucking quaint.
Yes.
You know,
yeah.
Doing this thing that it's hard for me to imagine even in retrospect.
It feels like something that could, and this will sound like I'm throwing shade at Britain, but I'm actually not. It feels like something that can only happen in a smaller country and kind of like a smaller culture. When you read descriptions of this specifically, so like Hairraiser is an unrelated product to the storybook that was put out, The Masquerade. You read descriptions of The Masquerade, basically this ended up like it being exactly the way that the Willy Wonka golden ticket hunt was portrayed in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
It was a massive thing. Like people were racking their brains for years looking at this beautiful picture book. Have you seen like any of the illustrations and stuff inside of it? Fucking gorgeous. Yeah. But like every page is like very loaded with things that are very obviously like clues, sequences of numbers, you know, prominent symbols and things like that kind of attached to this regular story about a little kid who turns into a rabbit when he puts on a mask. Right.
Yes.
So when I say like it needs to happen in a culture that is, you know, that is smaller, is, you know, it's that this is like imagining every person who reads the internet being really involved in the same ARG. Basically, it's something that could only happen in fiction, and that fiction is Ready Player One.
it's a like I know a bunch of mostly I associate this with just like puzzle dorks of a general sense.
Yeah.
Like this is like a riff thing, or my friend Laura, like, you know, Kevin.
Yeah.
I'm sure has done this kind of thing. Like this is just, I don't necessarily think of this as a British thing. This has just happened to be the first one. And it makes sense for like, cause there is a geocache element to it, you know? But I think it's also could just be, this was the, they had the idea, you know, Sword Quest came before this, which was different. Like that was the digital version.
Yeah. Like this, the, like the answer to that was like inside the game itself. And like you would get the, like the code screen by beating it in the right way.
The idea here is that it's a book and all those like clue things are red herrings. Like the actual puzzle is very, you know, it's like one element of these big kind of Mysterium-esque pictures. And then there's a really minor controversy about it where like the guy who won it dated the ex-girlfriend of the guy who made it. And there's this whole controversy where they, you know, vowed to give it to animal rights charities. And it caused a scandal, which I guess like might be part of the reason why the game was a failure, but also because it's just fucking inscrutable.
Right.
No one has solved the game.
No.
So, you know, if you want to, you want $30,000 in, you know, cool British pounds money.
Yeah.
Or rather a necklace made of such or valued at such.
Like weirdly accurately valued at such. So the guy who supposedly fraudulently won the original golden hair, he went and he started this company to put out Hairraiser Prelude and Hairraiser Finale. And you know, the idea was you would buy the game and then, you know, at the end of you doing whatever you do in this, again, it's fucking nothing. It says, hey, buy the second game, and then you get the rest of the clues. And it was kind of hinted that the prize would be this would be this golden hair. It was sold at auction for £31,000. He tried to bid for it himself, but he had to tap out at $6,000, which is really funny that he could not liquidizing assets. Yeah.
It's also sad.
Well, yes, but he ripped off a bunch of people trying to sell a game that didn't bleed anything.
Yeah, he was. I mean, this is like a ZX Spectrum game where every screen is just a field, and there are numbers of clouds and stuff, and then like an esoteric message.
Yeah,
and it's possible those like numbers of clouds or the numbers of little dots in the sky or whatever could be a cipher of some sort.
Yes. And like pressing up, down, left, or right, or whatever on any number of these, you know, microcomputers, BBC Micro, things like that, like might take you to a different screen that has like a different oblique passage on it.
Yeah, but they're nonsense.
Right.
The book looks more fun, but this kind of, it's interesting. The thing to me about this is that like no one, I feel like this genre died largely because of the internet, because of collaboration.
Yeah.
Like, now people do this kind of thing with those, like, To Catch a Serial Killers and ARGs and stuff, but the entirety of the reward isn't doing it. With Q drops or whatever.
Yeah.
We got to get all of our QAnon jokes out of the way now.
Yeah.
Because eventually the QAnon murders will happen again, and
we
won't be able to, we'll start feeling bad.
TMTM.
But it is. Yeah, it is. It feels like just like absolute shit. I hate it so much.
Yep. That's the fucking worst.
Anyway. Irredeemable monsters.
Yeah, but the big collaboration. This is why like the online Myst game didn't work out, was just because those puzzles, like what they were used to developing, were solitary pursuits that were meant to be, you know, gone after by one person, and the ways that they like tried to make it so that collaboration would not trivialize them ended up making them boring and unfun.
Yeah. Yep. Which has been a big thing with any kind of ARG. Like there's just a Reddit page to solve.
Yes.
Whatever the stuff is. Back in the day, you would just get the book and be like, I'm going to work on this, you know, on my own. And then you could offer $30,000 for a winner.
Yeah.
You know, but now it would just be a dumb way to spend money. It would get solved instantly and people would stop buying it. Even though this did come with, you know, a version of this, like there were like clue books and they released clues in the paper and stuff to juice sales.
Yeah.
Like this was even the initial version of this was a cute idea that was there to make money.
Yes. Yeah. You know? Like they had like weird, like collaboration by like BBC presenters and stuff. Like they would go to the media and like put out basically like a cryptic statement that was supposed to like nudge somebody in the right direction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. So a neat thing, that does not, like, I'm not good at these kind of puzzles.
Nor am I. No.
Like when I found the solution to this, I was like, oh, there's never, not a million years,
mm-hmm.
whatever thing to do that.
Yeah.
That's wild as hell. it's basically like in every figure taking the longest, or every figure taking the longest finger from a certain hand and drawing it through a certain foot,
mm-hmm.
and then connecting it to a certain letter off the screen,
yeah.
And then doing that with different combinations of hands and feet to get certain letters.
Mm-hmm.
Here. And this isn't the book. Again, the game is just nonsense.
Yes. Yeah. The game was designed to get 9 pounds out of somebody and then another 9 pounds for the second half of it. None of it ever leading anywhere.
Yeah. Sold badly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sold badly, but also like is not worth anything really. Like if you go and like look for them, like the actual like cassettes and things like that, like are not listed very high. Like this is this game is not a place of honor.
No, it's a fun idea, like mm-hmm. having this or having a copy of the book as just like a little bit of history.
Yeah,
like is a fun idea, but mm-hmm. not as fun as getting the sword from Fire Quest or whatever.
Yeah, because you could like, use the sword from Fire Quest. Yeah,
I could certainly use it. I want one of the treasures from this thing.
Yes,
I don't want the actual game. I would like an enchanted rabbit amulet that lets me turn into a rabbit whenever I put it on.
No, very limited. What happened to Cole? Yeah, Hawk ran away with him. Oh, that's weird. How big was the Hawk? Yeah. Well, he was a rabbit at the Lady time.
Yeah, it would be, that's what I would like. Give me a gaming treasure.
Yep.
You know?
Something that is crazy about this, though, I just now noticed this on the reception part of the Wikipedia. It says the game was awarded a 3 out of 10 in Sinclair User. A 3 out of 10 for something that basically just displays a couple of images. It's good to know there's a floor on this thing. Why is this floor not 0?
It's because it's Sinclair User. It's like Nintendo Power, how they would like give things like 5s that were pretty shitty.
Mm-hmm.
They just really wanted people to buy Sinclair.
Yeah, they were just pro Sinclair. It didn't matter. Didn't matter how.
Sinclair User, I just went to that website and the covers are great. And that's mm-hmm. a really great name for a magazine.
Yep.
And at one point it was called Timex Sinclair User.
Yay.
Yay. The Timex spinoff. That was the US version. Write a program and win a fortune. God, nerds wanted to make money back in the day.
They did. Nerds were on the hustle. Yeah.
Yeah. 10 tips for better programming. Here comes the TS 1500.
Hide.
Look out, boys. Dun, 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 dun. Interview with the Timex top man.
Yeah.
Who's Timex top man? Interview with Timex top man.
Yeah, inside the Sinclair organization, we're blowing this thing wide open. Yeah,
it's like I got to get a copy of this magazine next time we do, if conventions ever come back.
Yeah. Oh my God, just the people on the front of these very charmingly, just very regular looking people.
I love like these kind of, I love that when you just see it, people that don't exist anymore from like a decade like that. Yep. We just know they get this stuff.
Yeah. Gosh, 8 pages of programs. I'm sad that I wasn't really like, I didn't hit that era because I hear people talk about that. The closest mm-hmm. I ever got was like going to websites and getting the TI, like the Texas Instruments codes to program games like in Drug War or whatever into my TI-83 calculator. Like I never had that for like an actual, you know, computer that could actually do anything like intricate like this.
Yeah. You know, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
Like I made some QBasic games, but I feel like it's basically the same experience.
Yeah.
I have a choose your own adventure book when I was like seriously collecting those.
Okay.
That instead of having a choice at the end of the little chapters, it has a program you have to program into QBasic to play a little game.
Oh, that's fun. Out
which way you go.
That's a lot of effort, but it's very fun. Yeah.
Yeah. It's really cute. Exceedingly cute.
Yeah.
This is cute. Like that's where I would say this book and all this stuff is.
Yeah.
Is in the cuteness thing.
Yes. Like, although the art in the Masquerade book, it has a certain kind of sinister quality to it that I very much enjoy.
It's really if you've never played Mysterium, it's extremely Mysterium.
Gotcha.
yeah, which uses you know, just kind of abstract images like this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else is in the news? Death Fog.
Too much.
Yeah. You know, it's trying not to get too into that shit.
Yeah.
You know,
did you read about the Pepsi Sleep Cola?
I did. I saw you tweet about the Pepsi Sleep Cola. I don't think that's sinister. I'm going to be there day one, man.
I'm going to be there day one. Pepsi is launching a beverage to get a piece of the $1 billion sleep aid industry. I can't have the page open because it causes the recording to stop. CNN's web page is a nightmare. Yes, this is. So it is like a fizzy water with magnesium and L-theanine. Which is, yeah, like they think like tryptophan or whatever. It's, you know, similar amino acid kind of thing. That is called Driftwell.
Yeah. I've never seen a product that speaks to me more than this. Like, no joke. Yeah. This is literally all I want out of life. Yeah. Is Pepsi to come save me from being awake.
Yeah. It's Pepsi after dark.
I know, I need Pepsi after dark, so this is Pepsi goodnight, Gary.
Yeah, well, so like it's carbonated, so that's that's one thing. Drinking something carbonated right before bed seems kind of weird. Also, like, I don't know, it takes a while for me to drink a full like 12 ounce can of soda.
I'm gonna shotgun these shits.
Yeah, so like
it's not gonna take me very long.
Like, how many people are gonna like? I'm just school. Just like nestle into bed, pull the covers up, and
crack open a cold one.
Yeah, put on their nightcap, crack open a cold one, and then race sleep to try and finish this so it doesn't spill everywhere when they go limp.
the thing about these drugs is they're fake.
Oh yeah,
this is gonna not put you to sleep the way that I want you put to sleep.
Yeah,
yeah. It'll do a little bit,
mm-hmm,
you know, but it's not gonna, you know, so you won't really be racing sleep.
No, mm-hmm. No.
I will be racing sleep when I combine this with weed gummies and Slow. So when I make Slow Ball Plus, I will be racing sleep, but yeah, up until I make Pepsi Slow Ball, mm-hmm, you know.
Yeah. Basically I'm imagining the version of this that I want, which is just an off button that I drink.
Yeah.
But that's not what I'm going to get.
Yeah, a drinkable off button is "Be Still My Heart."
Yes, it's this apparently is not meant for us. It's like meant for people who are a little stressed.
Yeah, no. Yeah, the weekend warriors when it comes to the whole world don't deserve their people, Pepsi sleep.
People who haven't been up on the wall don't deserve Pepsi sleep.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah. I'll get some, and I feel bad because this is basically just turned into a commercial for Downwell. Downwell's a fun video game. What's this, Driftwell? There we go.
Yeah, Driftwell, which is like, you know, drifting is what I like to do.
Yeah.
And I do it well. Anytime you're going to sleep, mm-hmm, it's worth going to sleep well.
Do it. Otherwise, it's not going to take.
Yesterday, I've been easing back on the Slow Ball specifically.
Right, right.
And the reason being is that ZQL can cause constipation. Apparently.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah.
So I've been easing back, but I treated myself to one yesterday. And every once in a while, like I'm not somebody who seeks out this part of this feeling I'm talking about, but every once in a while, if I get high and do a sleep drug, I like travel through time and basically have no idea what's happening or where I am for a little bit. Right. And it was one of those nights.
Because you're asleep or you are continuing to be aware of doing things, but it's a montage.
It's 20 minutes felt like 6 hours, and I don't know what I did.
Gotcha.
In that time. Like, yeah, it was just this weird, you know, I was in this twilight zone, mm-hmm, kind of thing. And it was, you know, if they could put that in a drink.
No, definitely the times when like you're drifting off and you close your eyes and it's like 6:31 or something. And then you dream the rise and fall of civilizations. And then you step back through the wardrobe and you open your eyes and it's like 6:33.
Yeah. Exactly. Like that. It's very crazy.
Yeah. So. No, I don't necessarily seek that out. We should clarify for people. A slow ball is...
Shouldn't we?
I forget if we define that here. Basically, my concern is...
consult the wiki.
No, it's ZQL and a weed gummy, right?
Yes. Yeah. Not NyQuil and a weed gummy. Somebody on Twitter was like, I'm going to try the slow ball. I have NyQuil. I'm like, no.
I don't
need to be responsible for anyone's liver failing.
No. Although,
like, just because I like to go to sleep and not dream doesn't mean I want your livers to fail.
Right. No. Oh my God. The dumbest possible thing. So I went and I did like a pickup because I was having trouble sleeping. I did like a drive-through pickup at a local drugstore, and I ordered, ZQL because just that works really well. Went and got it, and I got it home and I looked at it. It was ZQL branded NyQuil or ZQL flavored NyQuil. The primary brand on it was ZQL, but then in smaller text under it said NyQuil for cold and flu.
Hold up.
Yeah. It was purple.
That's not fair.
It was purple. It had, a very similar berry flavor. It had the NyQuil nastiness because it has NyQuil has nasty tasting stuff in it. Yeah. It's just ZQL branded NyQuil because that's amazing. Because people love the taste of ZQL, but sometimes they might want to take it when they're sick.
It does taste better.
Yes, it does.
Than NyQuil.
Yeah.
As somebody. You know what doesn't taste good?
What?
Is they made like crystal clear ZQL. like the clear Pepsi.
Okay.
Things. Let me see what it's called. Nighttime free of high fructose corn syrup, alcohol, artificial flavors, and dyes.
Okay.
From the makers of NyQuil ZQL. Uh-huh. It tastes like the most poison I've ever had.
Oh, wow.
It is so poisonous.
Huh.
It fucking hurts to drink.
Gross. Did you have to like cut it with something?
No, I had to do a chaser.
Yeah. So I'll definitely try down. What is it? Driftwell. There we go.
Yeah. Oh, we'll have to do an episode about it.
Oh, we will. It'll like be a Duck Feed Presents.
Driftwell. Yeah. Duck Feed Presents.
Yeah.
A commercial we're not getting any money for.
Yep. I don't know, maybe I was in a particular mood because of everything going on, but just the idea of like one of the three companies that gets to make food making a big play into pharmaceutical colas.
Yeah. Man, the pharmaceutical cola is just a blessed compound word. I want like something in an aspirin soda that I don't have to like chew or swallow.
Gary, what you're describing is Alka-Seltzer.
I love an Alka-Seltzer though. Like, if I could take all my medicine in soda form, is the point.
No, it's the way it used to be. Go down to the soda jerk.
Yeah, I'd be like, hey, asshole. Put some Coke in
this. Can I get my chemo soda?
Yeah. Can I get a dialysis light?
Yeah. Can I get something in a steroid Dorito?
Yeah, exactly. I need to.
Can I get a pozone made of prednisone? Zone?
Yeah, pred apostrophe zone.
Fuck, man.
Thanks everybody for listening.
Thank you.
We have a time thing today, so we gotta not. We're recording another episode, so.
Yeah,
if you like this energy,
it'll be picking up next time. Yep. Thank you, Joe, for hipping me to this. Honestly, I had no idea that such a thing
really
existed.
Appreciate you, Joe.
Yes, thank you.
If you like the show, go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv. You can sponsor episodes like Joe did, or you can just get extra episodes and support your boys.
Yeah. To take a look, the offerings are numerous. The line to suggest games for Haptic Suffering is short right now. We're probably going to start throwing in some of our picks, maybe some randoms and stuff like that. If you want to hop on that, now would be a good time to do it.
Yes. And what should they do as a sign off, Cole?
As a sign off, wait a second. No, I'm logged into the wrong account, Gary. No. One second here. Going to the app. I put out a new call. Until next time, as Yes Okay Fine always says, until next time, guts suck paper mache till your arms hang slack and your mind conjures half-wrong memories of the child you ought to have been. Good night.
Good night.